CPA After Dark.
What's going on, guys, and welcome back to CPA After Dark. I'm your host, Kristen, and I'm here with my beautiful co-host and my personal CPA, Marit, and we are going to talk about capital gains today, which is very, a lot of people don't know all of this, and I didn't even know all of this, so I'm excited for this one.
Yeah, I think it's important to explain to people how capital gains taxes work because they get confused. They think it's like they're on an island all by themselves. Hey, I had a client who was like, hey, I sold this house and I only had like $30,000 of income, but I sold this rental. You know, I have a long-term capital gain, let's say of like $100,000. So since my income, I only made $30,000, it's 0% taxed, right? And I was like, no, it doesn't work like that. So let's get into that and explain how you would kind of, you got at least, maybe you can't completely calculate your capital gain, but you kind of have to know how it works so that you don't think you're going to pay 0% on a $100,000 gain, for example. And I think a good way to get the foundation of that is to go over the marginal tax brackets, like the regular tax brackets and how they work. So Kristen, maybe you can start by kind of explaining that for us.
Yeah, so this was like a fun one for me to kind of research a little bit too, because I didn't realize, I thought like if you fall into like the 22% tax bracket that all of your income is at 22%. So if I made say $80,000, that all $80,000 is taxed at the 22% tax bracket. And that's not correct. So what they do is they let you make a certain amount of money. So it's like $10,000 and you're in the 10% tax, actually, I think it's $20,000. You're in the 10% tax bracket. All that money is still taxed at the 10% tax bracket. Even if you make $100,000, that first bracket's total income is still taxed at that 10% bracket. Then you make some more money, the year goes on, and then you get into the next tax bracket, which is the 12%. So as long as you're, so whatever you made from the $20,500-ish dollar mark to whatever that 12% tax bracket is, you're going to be taxed that amount of money at 12%, but you were still taxed up to the $20,000 at 10%. And every time you leave a tax bracket, each tax bracket goes up, but only the amount of money that is in that tax bracket will be taxed at that tax rate. So I thought that was really interesting because I always assume that whatever tax bracket you fall into at the end of the year is the tax bracket that you're taxed on for everything. And that's not the case, which is kind of a nice thing that the government does because you're not being taxed. Everybody's being taxed. It's kind of fair if you think about it. Yes, the percentages go up and that stings. But if you didn't make a ton of money, you're being taxed at the 10% rate. And then as you go up, you bump it up, but you still get to take advantage of that 10% rate. So I thought that was kind of interesting and very cool to know because I didn't know that. I really truly thought that it was all your income at the end of the year and whatever the big old percentages they want to throw at you, that's the one that you're subject to. And that's not the case.
Yeah. And that's actually, I feel like you're right. That kind of could put people's mind at ease when they mm-hmm. realize if they made $100,000, not all of it is going to be taxed at a 22% rate. You're right. It's marginal. It's like mm-hmm. the first $20,000 at 10 and then the next $40,000 at 12 or whatever. You know, you guys, we're going to actually share a slide in a little bit that will show the actual tax brackets, but that's kind of how it works. It's like a little bit at a time it goes up and then also, as you can take off the standard deduction from your income. You can do above the line adjustments, which, you know, some examples of above the line adjustments are like student loan interest or if you contributed to an HSA. So then your income, once you've done all those adjustments and deductions, that is how you're going to. That's when you're going to start applying the tax table. So, you know, there's even those creative ways to get it lower before you look at the tax table.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that you could take all of that off of the top. So if you have like your HSA and student loans and stuff, and you made say $20,000 and you start taking that off the top and you're down to like $18,000, you're still within that tax bracket and you didn't even fill that tax bracket yet.
Right. Yeah. And you could take the standard deduction as well, which if you're single, you know, depending on the tax year, between 13 and 14,000, now you're just paying 10% on $3,000. So,
wow.
You know, anything that you can do to lower you out of that, of whatever bracket is next, that's always can save you sometimes a lot of money, especially as you get into the higher brackets. And now if you get a jump from a 22 to a 24, that it's not that big of an income, but the tax is going to be so much higher because you're in such a, you know, higher bracket. So it's kind of, you know, a good starting place to understand. And then I wanted to also, you know, lead that into capital gains, because as I said in the beginning, capital gains, you know, it's not just like this island that's on its own. So first of all, let's just talk about long-term capital gains, because long-term capital gains are subject to the 0, 15, 20% capital gains tables. Short-term capital gains are taxed at the same rates as ordinary income. So let's put those to the side and talk about long-term capital gains. So if let's say that, Kristen, let's use you as an example. If you had $100,000 in W-2 income, and then after the standard deduction, let's say you're at $80,000, and then you had a $20,000 long-term capital gain, maybe you sold some stocks, right? So instead of saying, okay, well, I have this $20,000 capital gain, I am in the zero, it is in the 0% tax bracket. So let's look at the table right here. The middle column would be your long-term capital gains bracket. And you think your $20,000, because it's $20,000, is going to be right there at the 0% because it goes all the way up to $83,000. You think you're golden. But that's not how it works. You're actually going to add your $80,000 in W-2 income, and then you're going to add your $20,000 in long-term capital gains to get a total income of $100,000. And now looking at this chart, you see that anything above $83,350 and below, obviously $250,000, you can see it right there, is in the 15% bracket. So that is where your $20,000 capital gains would be taxed, in the 15% bracket. So long story short, it kind of stacks on top of each other. You've got your ordinary income, you've got your long-term capital gains, you've got your other income. That total income is what's going to determine your capital gains rate. So I hope that kind of makes sense. It's really technical and hard to explain, but also I think it's worth a try, because people really just think that their capital gains is going to be taxed at whatever amount it is to the table. And that's just not how it works.
I think you explained it really well. And strategically, I know for me, it makes sense to know where I'm at. I usually rely on my CPA, my beautiful CPA. Like I've said before, like I do my books and I like to know where I am, you know, financially. But then at the end of the year, keeping my books versus figuring out my taxes at the end of the year, those are two very different things to me. My books, that's easy to me. My taxes, not so easy. That's why you do them. But at the end of the year, I want to know, and this is why we meet towards the end of the year, I like to know where I'm at, because if I need to make a strategic decision, like this year in May, we were doing really well. So in May, we decided to buy a short-term rental, and later in the year, we also decided to do a cost segregation study on it, which allows us to take a lot of depreciation up front. And when we did that, we decided to make some other strategic moves, because we had all of this depreciation that we wanted to capture. And we actually converted our traditional IRAs into Roth IRAs this year, which normally, if you do that, I would have been bumped up tax brackets. And we converted a significant amount of IRA money into a Roth this year, and it didn't bump us to another tax bracket because of the cost segregation study. But because we had done our homework on the front end, we weren't penalized. We won't be penalized, I should say, because we didn't file yet, but we won't be penalized in the back end, which is really nice. It's nice to know what tax bracket you fall in, and if you want to make a play, you want to know that you're within that tax bracket to do that, or you're not going to bump into the next tax bracket by too much. So that was like just kind of an example as where you could use this information yourself.
Yeah, that's actually a really good example. It's one of those higher tax strategies that we put into play is the chunking the Roth, the conversion to Roth from a traditional to a Roth, using the tax brackets as a guide, knowing how much can we convert over without having it kick us into the next bracket. How, you know, when is a good time to convert? This year, next year? When are we going to make more? When are we going to make less? So having that foundational understanding is hopefully so helpful to anyone who's watching this video. And then also, I really just want you know, you guys to know about the capital gain so that you don't get your hopes up. Like my poor client who had that big gain on his house and then was like, oh, well, I only had $30,000 in income. So it's a 0% gain. It's like, it's, you know, you don't want to tell people that and you don't want to bring them down and have them realize that it's actually, they're probably in the 15%, which could be worse, but you know, just having that understanding so that you don't get your heart broken. We're not here to break your guys' hearts.
Yeah, you always want to be active versus reactive. Is that how you say it? I believe. Like you don't want to be in a situation proactive versus reactive. That's it. Yes, you always want to be proactive, and I always want to have the knowledge. So this is really, I know it's helpful for me because now I can look at it myself without always have to ask, always having to ask Marit where I'm at.
You just rewatch this video.
Yeah.
If you have any questions.
I'm going to utilize this. I hope you guys like this video. It is some really good information, especially around tax time. So maybe give it a save and definitely look back at it for next year too as we get close to tax season. But we will see you next time. Make sure that you're subscribing to CPA After Dark. And we'll see you guys in the next one.